poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it through the seemingly endless desert to your oasis, covered in verbiage. You've made it to world poetry. Open mic. I'm your host for the evening, Michael Amade. J. Todd is unable to join us this evening. Here on my left and my right is the hero, the beast of all nations, JT the Half Squatch. How you doing, buddy?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, man. It's been a long week. It was the first week of school, and
yeah,
it's exhausting, man. How about yours?
It's been a long week, but it's mostly because I stare at spreadsheets all day. So
that would do it. Yeah. That would do it. I'm surrounded by a bunch of children. And I'm trying to keep from running around, being like, ha ha ha.
So you're herding cats, I am too, but I do it in a different way.
You do it in an Excel sheet, which
or email. Yeah,
I'm going to be honest, would put me to sleep, man.
It will.
It really will. It's a beautiful night here in Lakewood /Denver, Colorado. We hope it's a beautiful night wherever you are. We're going to get to some great poetry this evening. Rules: number one, no F bombs. We don't do it. We will cut you off if you do. Okay. Number two, we're going to keep the poetry between 3 to 5 minutes. And number three, no hate speech. All right. So should we just get going into our first segment? You want to just do it?
Well, let's do it.
All right. Cool. Okay. Give us a call. 720-240-9766.
That is 720-240-9766.
Or World Poetry Open Mic on Skype. We are here in the Hall of Justice. And I tell you what, you know how I know this is the Hall of Justice?
Yeah.
Because the lighting is a little bit different. And these pants I'm wearing look fantastic. These mirror pants here.
Yeah.
You notice that?
Yeah.
Does anything say the poetic justice like mirror pants?
No. I have to agree with you. Those are pretty awesome.
That's what I think it is, man. It's all about a strong fashion statement that reflects someone's actions back at them. So we have five of the best online. We even have a submission and another poem coming afterwards. Should we just go from the beginning?
It's a good place to start.
It's a good place to start. All right, let's bring on the line.
I hit the wrong button,
that's
Michael.
Okay.
My apologies.
It's all right. It's a learned habit.
It is.
All right. So, number one call, Annette.
Annette, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, good evening. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. You've been gone for a few weeks. How's everything been going? I heard you went skydiving.
I did. Oh, my God. It was so awesome. I want to learn to do it solo. It was so awesome. I don't know if you've ever had a falling dream where you feel like you're falling.
Yes.
It's not like that at all. You don't feel anything.
That's
just
awesome.
Pure adrenaline. It's awesome.
Nothing but adrenaline.
You've got to try it. It's the best high in the world, I'm telling you.
You know, that sounds better than... Because when I had my heart rate tested in the hospital back in May, they wrapped me in kind of like a big Michael burrito, and then shot me through with a chemical that made my heart rate go up to 90 some percent of max in about 20 seconds, and that was horrible. But I think skydiving sounds cool.
I was not nervous, no butterflies, no queasy stomach, no sweaty palms. I was just so psyched to go. It's on YouTube. If you looked up Annette James's tandem skydive, it's on YouTube.
Sweet.
Okay. Very cool. So, did you write something about it, or what do you have to share with us?
I made a big fool of myself, too.
Hey, that's the story of my life, Annette. Seriously? Come on.
I do, too. Every day, I don't care.
Yeah, that's
what people think.
I wake up and fall flat on my face and just stand up and go, screw you guys. Keep going.
Yeah, that's right. Who cares what people think?
Exactly.
No, I haven't wrote anything about it. I was going to, but I haven't yet.
Okay.
I haven't really done a lot of writing, maybe one a day, if that.
You've been doing living.
I did write one today.
Yeah, you've been living, though. You've been living, not writing. I think that's important to do. You have
Correct.
To kind of
we
add that in.
We all have lives, too. Besides,
well, and
know,
I think it's important to have a life. If all you do is write, I don't think you're really going to have the full scope of emotions and you know, points of view to really say something impactful.
Exactly. Exactly. You have to go out and have the experiences to be able to put it down.
Absolutely. So what do you have for us?
Well, I have, it depends on what you want to hear. I have something kind of peaceful, serene, and then I have something kind of dark.
You know, what do you think? You want to save one? So, Annette, you're calling back for the return engagement, right?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go with peaceful the first time out. We'll go dark when it gets darker.
Okay.
Okay.
So this one I wrote today, and it's called, I don't usually write this kind of stuff either. Mostly, I do write dark and sad stuff. I don't really write a lot about love.
Okay.
I don't know why, but anyways, I guess maybe that's just the way my mind thinks. So this one's called All in a Day's Work. Whispers roll between tawny stalks of wheat fields as the sinking sun settles into sleep. Birds silence in the darkness and the quiet of death reeks in the air. Hours pass by before the golden star rises, without the ticking of seconds whooshing at high speed. The hours drift on rapidly till mid-afternoon, when rush hour stops short on cemented roads that are lost in the afternoon's heat. Big cities in a hurry, people scrambling here and there, but in the tranquil setting, running along country roads, a hush dwindles in this arena like no other. Stochastic auras, benign without a cognizant definition, are gently placed after a soft sob of muted clouds, ending the race to the finish line. And again, the sun begins its journey, settling in to sleep again. End poem. I'm sorry, I stuttered there.
No, that was beautiful. You don't need to apologize for anything. You hear me stutter when I'm reading all the time. So that was wonderful, and it was very peaceful. What did you think, JT?
I liked it. It was good.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
It's really a pleasure to have you back on the show. I'm glad that you chose to join us again.
You know, I did a couple times. I set my alarm clock, and I was so tired I slept past it, and then when I woke up, it was too late. So I was bummed, you know, that I missed you guys. But tonight, I'm wide awake.
I'm so happy to hear that. We look forward to hearing your work in the return engagement as well.
Okay, I'll be here.
Thanks so much, Annette.
Thanks, you guys.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, good start. Good lead off. All right, you ready to head in? Should we go to Florida now? We're going to go across country because she's in Washington, right? That was where Annette was?
That was Washington.
Okay, so now we're going to go all the way to Florida, where I'm sure the weather's beautiful, to Diane. Diane, are you there?
I am here, sir. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just fine. Happy happy Friday night, assuming that you don't work on the weekend, I guess. All right, so
I work on Saturdays, too.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
It's okay. Half day?
I'm a teacher. I get excited, you know, when it's Friday.
Hey, I do, too. Fridays and Saturdays are half days.
Oh, see, that's okay, too. I think half days are actually pretty nice. I think you could actually, if people, this is just a theory. I have no proof for this. But I feel like if you worked, if your whole company just worked half days, but really grinded for that half day, you'd actually probably get more done.
Probably. I believe you're correct.
I could be right. Anyway, sorry, just going off on workforce analyst nerdy stuff. So, Diane, how was your week, and what do you have for us?
Well, what I have for you, and I hate to say this, I have two dark poems.
Oh, no.
I know.
Which one's the darkest?
Probably the one I'll do on the second round.
Perfect. That's what I was going to suggest, too. That's perfect.
Okay. What I would like to let you know, I know that last week I kind of went over time with my poem about skydiving, which...
Strangely enough, that's right.
Which, wow, we should have coordinated. Hey.
No kidding.
Last week in the news, there was the child in Syria that was featured on newscasts and a little five-year-old that was traumatized.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this is an older poem for me. It's was written during the time I lived in South Africa, where I dealt with a lot of traumatized children.
Okay.
But that was also when the Middle East was a lot closer, too. So the news was a lot closer.
Okay.
And it's entitled Lambs. Singing sounds of silence, silence wounded by the knives of the climax and destruction of the petrified in life. While some do all the talking and no one seems to listen, or some do all the listening, cleaning up what's left and pissed on. Damnation here, damnation there, fear of self or fear of where. The heart and soul find meaning where meaning's easiest to find, and the rules of the masses are led by those who are deaf and blind. Yet the souls of self-destruction carried in our favorite genes are surprised when war arises, spreading famine and disease. Yet the constant continuation of irresponsibility and theft carry through our self-destruction, left alone and then bereft. Of all that made man human, all that God would will or die. And we all keep on wondering why the crosses burn the sky. When Jerusalem lives in our hearts and not in flames, religious starts. Then speak to me of music, friend. I'll sing to you of Bethlehem.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I thought that was really powerful.
Very nice, Pete. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Diane, thanks so much for your work. As always, we always appreciate it. And I think it's so cool from week to week to be able to come in and hear each other's work and to see the growth and the thought.
I greatly appreciate you guys. I love this show.
Well, wonderful. We appreciate you too. And we'll be here for a while. All right. So, Diane, we're going to catch you on the return engagement, okay?
All right, sir.
All right. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. God bless you.
God bless. Bye. All right. Well, it's a strong night so far.
Yeah, really, really good.
If we keep going on this tick, I'm going to be weeping at some point.
Probably.
I've come close a few times already tonight. Some of it was me eating all those Listerine strips at the same time, but
you're
was
not supposed to open the pack and just
know,
dump them on your
tongue. But I kind of have a thing for the gummy. It's like it's weird. Sorry about that.
You do the same thing for gummy bears, don't you? You just open the pack and just.
I just
in.
Go for it, man. I pretend I'm Teddy Roosevelt and eat all the bears.
All right.
I don't even know what the hell that means, guys. Sorry. All right, here we go. Shows you where my mind is. Let's go from Florida to a place that's really close to my heart, Colorado. Let's bring on Chris Fox, who's going to be at Posick Fest. How are you, Chris?
Doing really well. How are you guys?
Doing wonderful, man. How's your job going?
It's tough. It's a lot of getting yelled at. But
I was going to say, man, working for a symphony or a classical music organization is not easy work. I have to tell you.
Yeah, it definitely hasn't been so far, but I'm looking forward to learning more and just being able to help them out if I'm able to.
That's it, man. And stick with it because, honestly, no matter if they yell at you or not, they've all been yelled at, too, as they were coming up through the ranks. And they need you. We need good people working in classical music.
I'm going to do my best. I just have to learn more and keep trying.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, keep your head up, man. Don't worry about it. What do you got for us?
Ooh, I got a poem I wrote Thursday.
Excellent. Whenever you're ready.
Yeah. I'm a word wizard, a mathematician in verse. I'm hiding images and more than the voices heard. While I recognize that I hurt, herded syllables that I call words, it's hardly something incapable for yourself to pen first. You just have to try and join me in this magic. Conjure your imagination towards a magnificent habit of everyday scribbling, hinting towards greatness. Write out 1,000 poems. Only a few will tempt fate. The majority will be heinous. But trudging through the mud as you find your voice is a rather difficult choice, hoisted by the self to be plunged into the unknown. You can fall into the darkness. I've been there. It's tempting. I know. To come back, though, through the cracked breaks in the veil of reality made through understanding and contemplating your surroundings, then bounding toward the light that's hidden in your heart. It's a secret place where only the best words are, for they spark the imagination to pull a multidimensional form, born from a rebirth of consciousness. When achieved, it's fully earned, and burned because it's learned through lessons most fear. You have to know loss. You must feel every tear. Be willing to suffer to fully complete the puzzle of the worded magic. It's noted as the artistic struggle. But most fall away as the darkness is too great. But pushing through, it can end in a number of ways. You can lose and fall, or win and be great, with a variation in between of understanding and finding your way. This magic is universal. It's to be used by all. You can note your own magic to play through instruments, paint, or whatever medium seems to thrall your mind towards the crazy end goals that you must complete, or never be satisfied by the waves of images you glean. Thank you.
That's solid work, man. And you can hear him when we're broadcasting live, or if you're in live attendance at Posick Fest, which will be September 17th. In right outside of Denver, Colorado. So we hope you can join us either in physical presence,
yes,
or listen to the live broadcast.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to hear Chris throw down stuff like that. Chris, that was awesome, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Posick Fest.
I'm looking forward to the rest of tonight. Yeah, I'm looking forward to both as well, man. Are you going to be on the return engagement?
I'll definitely think about it. I'm about to spark up a cigar and listen to the rest of the show.
Sounds great, man.
Sounds all right, really well, good.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Well, if we don't hear from you in the return engagement, have a great night, and I hope you enjoy listening to the rest of the show, but hopefully we do hear from you.
All right, sounds good.
All right.
Have fun.
Thanks, Chris. That was Chris calling from Colorado Springs, Colorado, where I spent some time. I spent a decent amount of time there, man.
Yeah, a few years.
Yeah, I got married and basically divorced there. And I lived right next to, so a lot of people don't know this. I lived on a ranch, or a horse ranch, but it was attached to an event center. So the Norris Penrose Event Center, mm-hmm. That's where my ex-wife and I lived. And we had a bunch of horses there. The Budweiser Clydesdales, when they came through, would come stay there. And my dog at the time had some sort of a love affair with the Dalmatian. It was really funny.
That'll be a really interesting pup.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think that ever happened. I think it was never consummated, but they would run and frolic and be free together.
That's awesome.
And the best part was she was small and pitch black, so it was perfect.
Awesome.
But then, you know, I also, that place was really close to Tesla's old laboratory there.
Oh,
and then I was singing at the Flying W Ranch. So Western music, horses, and Tesla just about sums me up, man.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Kmart and Ash Wednesday, you know?
That's awesome.
All right. So let's travel to Michigan to one of our longest supporters and someone whose work we love so much. Dennis, are you there?
Oh, yes. Of course I am. It's Friday night.
It is. That's right. And it wouldn't be Friday night without you, Colin. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a highlight of my week.
Hey, we enjoy it, too. We enjoy it. That's one of the things that's cool is, you know, I'm at school, I'm working, and, you know, it's tiring, but it's still good work. And then you realize that night you get to go do the show and, you know, check in with all these people you know around the country and around the world, really. And it's a really special thing. So we're always glad that you're here.
It's all good, and I'm glad to be part of it.
Wonderful. So,
well, I
know you're going to be coming out to Posick, but I wanted to ask, what do you have for us tonight?
I have a poem to share with you tonight. The title is A Nighttime Stroll Within the Woods.
Wonderful.
And it goes like this. When I walk in the woods at night, I'm aware of basic sounds, the pulsing wings of birds in flight, and snapping twigs upon the ground. The wind, it whispers through the trees, and then it stops to take a breath. I look around with some unease and hear the owl foretell of death. Then I get spooked as shadows dance. The moonlight is a spectral guest, that conjures up a fearful trance. I take my leave and seek some rest. End of poem.
That's a beautiful piece, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Lloyd. Walking in the woods at nighttime can really heighten your senses.
You know, I have had that experience. I think one thing I wanted to do this last summer, and I never did, was start incorporating walks more and walk every day, because there is such a long list of poets and authors and architects even that said that their creativity came from walking. Charles Dickens said, I think it was with every mile, or I'm totally butchering this, but with every mile came a new chapter.
Oh, that's good.
You know what I mean? So he really was a proponent of walking as well. I think you're right on the money with that, Dennis.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm glad I was able to share it. And thank you for being here tonight. We missed Jay Todd, but the show goes on.
That's right.
You guys do a great job, and we sure appreciate it. And I'm going to get off, let you guys get to the next poet. I'm going to say God bless you.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. Thanks so much.
Wow.
Man. Well, so we've gone through four poets already.
Uh-huh.
And they've all been stellar. And I feel like, you know, I feel like we should go to Vancouver, British Columbia.
Okay.
And it feels to me like, you know, I'm just trying to imagine what it's like there. You know, it's in the upper 70s maybe.
That's,
you know, kind of cloudy, and you know, not much rain, but just kind of cloudy. Lausanne, tell me, am I right?
Oh, hello. I wasn't sure if you can hear. I can. You were talking to me, or sorry.
We snuck up on you.
I missed it. I just heard some part of the conversation.
No problem. No problem at all. So, how's the weather there? I want to see if I was right.
It's muggy, a little bit of cloud, but it's like it's hot, but it's muggy. There's no wind. It's like
pretty humid, right?
Hot, actually.
Yeah, pretty
it's
humid.
Very humid. Yeah.
Yeah, see, yeah, I had that. I had that sense.
It is, but I hear in a couple of days it's going to rain a bit, and then the temperature will cool a bit. So looking forward to that.
It's just my sense, Lausanne. It's my Google sense telling me this. So basically, apparently you should have rain on Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday.
I don't know what we did before the Google. I have no idea.
So weird.
I have no idea.
I remember actually teaching a voice student whose computer monitor had broken a little bit, so he couldn't see the time. So he just Googled what time is it, so he could see the clock. And
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Wow.
Well, so what do you have for us? I mean, you've become such a treasured part of the show over a relatively short amount of time. We always love hearing your work. So what do you have for us?
Oh, beautiful. I am truly humble, and thank you very much. I wrote pieces of love poems a few years ago, as I made a comment that I was in the middle of a breakup of a relationship. And finally summed up the courage and was like, that's it. I'm healed. I'm good. I'm free now. Now I can write about it. So I finally did. And it's called Get Out of My Life. The void in my soul that used to be yours to fill no longer fits you. Get out of my life. Get out of my soul. Get out of my heart. Your ego has gotten so big. There's hardly any room, even for me, within myself. How is that even possible? Your words cut like razor. Even the fake nice words that comes out of your mouth in the presence of others hurts. Your presence aggravates me. Even hearing you breathe suffocates me. As if there is no longer enough air for the two of us in this house. Your thorn-riddled cactus-like hand scratches my delicate skin. Stop touching me. Stop trying. Stop acting. My skin is stopped desiring even to touch. All those lonely nights when I lay right next to you in that bed, I cried myself to sleep. Food no longer tastes good. Flowers don't smell good anymore. And even the rain stopped. The raindrops feel warm on my face, falling from the sky, because my heart stopped loving. Our steps no longer sink. When we walk, Our eyes hardly meet, and I cannot recall the last time my lips desired yours. A love that started on fire and lit up the skies with beautiful fireworks for all to witness and enjoy is ending with molting lava that's burning everything in its path, even melting rocks. Everyone is taking refuge now. Everyone's hiding from us. I no longer love you. I no longer want to be with you. I am setting myself free. So get out of my life. End poem.
Wow. Now that was great. And I think a lot of us have been in that situation before.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm noticing when I read poetry to people. I said, I felt that way. I just didn't know how to put it in words. And good on you. Thank you for writing it.
You know, and
I feel like I'm writing on behalf of people. I really do feel it, you know?
That's really something that I think is worthwhile. Because when you can write, you're almost allowing people to experience the emotions and deepen them and understand more about themselves through your work. And I think that's one of the great things that poetry can do for people.
Yeah, and then a lot of time, and then for a long time, what kept me from writing is fearing that if I write, people know my private life and know my secrets. No, and then I was told, like, no, people look to the poem. They don't look at the poet.
Yep.
And real people, they will look at it, and they sense something in their life that can relate to the poem. So they said, don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Go on, write. That's my uncle encouraged me. He says, never stop writing. So that's why here I am.
That's right.
Good.
And, you know, actually, Lausanne, here's a quote I just thought of, and I was able to pull it up faster. It's from Neil Gaiman. Do you know who Neil Gaiman is?
Not sure. No. I have to write it down.
He is a wonderful, wonderful author, and he writes some incredible books. And
can you tell me his last name, please?
Yes, it's Gaiman, G-A-I-M-A-N.
Got it. Thank
okay.
you.
And here's the quote. It's very short. The moment that you feel, just possibly, you are walking down the street naked, exposing too much of your heart and your mind, and what exists on the inside, showing too much of yourself, that is the moment you might just be starting to get it right.
Oh, that's a beauty.
That's
wow.
Good.
Isn't it?
Wow, that's amazing. That's another right poem I wrote. I'm like, stop hiding from us, because we all hiding stuff too, so let's all let it out.
It's so true, isn't it? It's so true. All right.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Lausanne, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence and everything you do for us. Are you going to be there for the return engagement?
Unless you guys do that really dramatic return engagement volume noise you do, otherwise I won't come back.
Okay. Well, we'll work that out. I'll put on my
big echo thing you guys do.
Well, I'll put on my Viking helmet and I'll do the, I'll do my best fat lady impersonation.
I will be there. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow. So that was Lausanne on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. That's the first time I've ever done that.
Yep, it was. I was almost not ready for it at all.
I saw it, and I saw you kind of like, I got to reach for it.
Look.
All right. So we'll actually try it. So we've gone through our five callers. Now, I'm going to read a submission, and since J. Todd isn't here, I'm going to read another poem afterwards. But this one here is from James Rothline, and he says it's based on a popular movie from the 80s. It's an acrostic poem called Prelude to a Train Ride.
Okay.
William couldn't get past the night. Rage ran roughshod, rendering him incapable of moving on. The night was something elusive, remaining uncharted, so many months after the fact. Bitter betrayal left him feeling out of sorts. That and his constant rants against his wife kept him from finishing his book. And that is Prelude to a Train Ride by James Rothline. Thank you, James. Now, he submitted that, in case you're listening and you don't know how to do this, by going to the World Poetry Open Mic contact form or sending it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com.
It's really simple.
It's very straightforward. We've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah.
I feel like we're getting some systems put together here, man.
Yeah, as we should. About now.
If you've been doing it for almost 5 years and you don't have systems figured out, there's a problem.
Okay. Well, I got this crank that just sits on the wall.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know what it does.
I wonder if we could try it sometime.
Maybe.
All right. Cool. All right. There's two cranks in the studio tonight. There's usually three.
Yeah, that's
true. There's actually usually four now that we count the one on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So this one is not by me, although I promise you I will bring some by me if I need to do this again.
Okay.
But this is by one of the great ones, Oscar Wilde. A vision. Two crowned kings and one that stood alone with no green rake. Oh my gosh. Let me try that again. Two crowned kings and one that stood alone with no green weight of laurels round his head, but with sad eyes as one uncomforted and wearied with man's never ceasing moan for sins no bleeding victim can atone, and sweet long lips with tears and kisses fed. Girt was he in a garment black and red, and at his feet I marked a broken stone which sent up lilies dove-like to his knees. Now at their sight, my heart being lit with flame, I cried to Beatrice, "Who are these?" And she made answer, knowing well each name. Asiculos first, and the second, Sophocles, and last, wide stream of tears, Euripides. And that, with some fumbling, was A Vision by Oscar Wilde. Those Greek names, man.
Yeah.
You know, I really should go back and revisit the classical studies. I'm actually planning on doing a lot of work in Greek Greek culture with my students this year.
Oh, sweet.
That's one grade. The other one, we're doing the Baroque period, and we do have a project. We have a whole unit called If It's Not Baroque, Don't Fix It. So that's what we're going to be doing.
Okay, I was going to say, are you guys going to try and fix it?
No, we're not, unfortunately. Not this time. All right, so for everybody who didn't call in, was working on their poetry, or just wasn't able to get a spot yet, I know Barbara was right on the heels of the last caller. Yeah. Let's do a second segment. The number is 720-240-9766.
720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic. Give us a call.
And we're back. Yes.
We're back with segment number two. And I think if you thought the first segment was awesome, which I did, and I'm sure JT did.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to love segment number two, except that it has only gone to four callers. So what that means is we're going to, after this segment, we're going to have the return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. That's right, the return engagement, where you get to call back and you get to share another piece of poetry. Or if you want to call for the first time tonight, you can do that as well.
Yep.
But first of all, let's get right to it. We're going to go to a great friend of the show, Barbara from Connecticut. Hello, Barbara.
Hey, guys.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I was waiting for my... here it is.
That's okay. You were just waiting for it to load?
No. I was waiting for this poem that I wrote while I was sitting in the parking lot of the doctor's office. We had to take my daughter to the doctor. She had a throat infection.
Those are never good.
And so we were waiting and waiting and waiting, and it wasn't like a fun wait.
What? There was not. You wasn't a fun wait in the hospital. What?
No, I wasn't in the place. I was in the car waiting.
Oh, that's right. You were in the car. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was waiting with my other daughter, who was sitting and playing on her computer and not paying attention to me. And we were listening to music, and I was actually talking to Diane, if Diane remembers. I was talking to her. And I said, you know, I think I want to write a poem.
You know?
It's a good time.
Yeah, I think that's a great time to write it.
There was nothing to do. And so I wrote this poem. And
all right.
I started out feeling just okay, and then you'll see what happens. I called it limbo moments.
Okay.
Time streams around me. People walk back and forth. Music plays soothingly while I am passing the time. Thoughts stir and wander aimlessly, free and encumbered. Moments divided into minute pieces, each tiny bit lasting the lifetime of an insect. Nothing is getting done, and yet all is happening somewhere else. While I sit and observe, sitting in the space of a familiar place, the history sifts through my brain as if it were a stereopticon of images. The days when they knew it was futile, even before the pneumonia drained your force, and yet you walked bravely into that office with a walker, making it seem as if you didn't need it, not knowing it would be your last visit and your future would be filled with many futile attempts in hospitals and rehabs to piece you together. Now my thoughts have wandered too far, and I must rein them in, for they have opened the source of my sorrow. End poem.
It's hard to say that you enjoy a poem of that tone.
Yeah.
But all I can say is that was really powerful, and I can feel kind of what it was like to be sitting there in the car in that kind of moment.
Yeah, it was very difficult for me, and as I was writing the poem, I realized, damn, it's gonna get sad.
Yeah.
And there was no way to stop it, and I had tears coming to my eyes. I said, "Oh, damn it! I've made myself sad."
But you know, I think you said something that is, and by no means is this the last word about life, but I think saying the phrase "damn it, it's going to get sad" kind of works across the board with life. It's going to happen, and it's going to be a lot of other things too. But it is, and
just to say, if you don't like sad poems, my book is coming out.
Oh, if you don't like, so these are happier poems?
Well, some are, some aren't.
Oh, okay.
I would say stock up on tissues. Cause
oh, okay.
It's kind of sad. I mean, you know, I have 70 poems in there, so there might be quite a few that aren't really sad. They're more not sad to you, but very sad to me. And photos and things and that, you know, kind of tore out my heart when I saw them. And so I will be working on my book September 5th to whenever, and that week, and then it will be ready for publication on the, I think it's published 17th, and we will have a Facebook launch on the 24th.
Sounds great.
All will be invited, so.
All right, well, let us know. Send us an invitation, even if we, we can Facebook get there.
Yeah, I'm calling it. Did I tell you what I'm calling it?
No.
You'll probably forget me. Mm. Life with and without hell.
Mm.
Okay.
That's a powerful title.
That's what he used to tell me.
Yeah, you told me that.
To
yeah.
Me.
Yeah, you mentioned that to us.
I on my show.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that he, you know, that he used to say that. And I said, oh, come on. How could anyone forget you, you know?
Yeah. Wow. And that's something.
Anyway, I will be calling in for the return engagement.
All right. Wonderful.
Thank you, Barbara.
All right, Barbara. We'll talk to you then. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow. You know, she really threw down tonight. I think that was really a great piece, and I'm looking forward to the book as well. I think choosing a title like that, honestly, that takes a lot of guts. Like Lozanne was talking about exposing your personal life,
yeah,
and all of that. And I think that really shows where her work is coming from.
Definitely, you know? It definitely does.
All right, so let's keep the emotions heavy to the most intellectual poet I know. Let's go all the way down to Kentucky to Monsieur Philippe. Are you there, sir?
Hello, fellows.
Hello.
How about a mellow yellow?
Wow, he's rhyming right out of the gate. This is incredible.
Right out of the gate, I tell you.
I have to say, I do miss Mellow Yellow.
Do you?
I do.
I didn't even. Yeah, so they don't make it anymore.
Don't they?
I don't think they've.
I've never had it.
No, I sorry. Oh. What?
Okay, they do where I am. They do in Denver.
Okay,
so.
And that means they probably make it everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might be regional at this point. I don't.
I didn't mean to get into the great Mellow Yellow debate. I'm sorry, Phil.
I feel like this is a whole potential podcast. We just choose a very random topic, and then while we're looking it up on Google and Wikipedia, just argue with each other.
Oh, until that tells us we're wrong or right.
And what we are saying could be completely wrong, and we have no reference for it. We're just yelling at each other about stuff.
And while you're saying that, it makes me wonder how that impacts Dungeons & Dragons games that have all of that technology available. I can only imagine
JT,
the fights that go on around the table.
JT can tell you that.
I can tell you a ton. It's odd. I do D&D on tabletop. And Google is a friend to a lot of people for D&D.
Everybody's a genius with Google.
Yes, yes, everybody's a genius with it. Yeah,
you know that's a great quote. I think that's a good point too. Everybody's a genius with Google, so you got to do something else than know stuff. All right,
right. I hear you. Yes, sir. I'll get to it.
Oh,
and
that's all right.
Just one comment. I agree with you about the walking. I do it as well, and you know, especially when you're trying to write poetry. Not that I never really obey meters.
Sure.
But I do hear how words, you know, kind of connect with each other. And very often as I'm saying them in my mind, they accompany my steps and they find a natural rhythm in that process. So, yeah, definitely walking is a great benefit to the mind.
You know, I agree that, and I don't know if you really remember it, that album I put out and I gave the listeners the show back in 2014, that whole thing was written in my head while I was walking.
Yeah, that's great. I did not know that. That's impressive. Yeah.
Well, that's just what happens. It's like, it's the same as writing poetry. You know, I mean, it can just show up and you can put it down. But
yeah.
I am complete agreement. Anyway, if anybody's interested in learning more about that, check out Daily Rituals. It's an amazing book. I think it's actually in the store on our site, but you can go to Amazon and find it there too. And it's all about the different rituals that creative people have used over the centuries. So Charles Dickens and all these people talked about what their daily rituals were. That's great.
Yeah, and back then they had to schlep a Gutenberg press, not like Google at all.
I know. That was back when writers were buff because they had to pull that Gutenberg press everywhere.
All right, all joking aside, all right. I will get out of the way. I will try to stay under the 5-minute limit, and if I need to speed up, just tell me and I'll read faster.
We'll just jump in and I'll yell in a German accent to speed up, okay?
No, mach schnell, mach schnell. It's make fast, make fast. Sorry.
The poem's broken up into 4 sections. I'll just give a heads up. The first, it's mental, physical, philosophical, and spiritual. And I don't know how to pronounce the Roman numeral system. So when I say 1, 2, and 3, I'm really meaning Roman numerals. So
okay, fair enough.
All right. Here we go. A nice plump title for J. Todd Underhill, who is incognito somewhere else. And I hope he's okay, by the way. Because I don't know anything. Anyhow, I miss J. Todd is what I'm saying. Variously scented, unsent letters, rearranged and broken into lines, before and after and while, in psychiatric facilities, intended for a faraway place called home. And here we go. 1, mental. Mind's infinity is necessarily greater than the universe's. Things which we measure, not intuited and inferred, that easily extend beyond tangible reality, statements bordering on equations without numbers or symbols, studied meaning so intently it leads toward confusion, the blessed impetus of prolonged gazes, imagined landscapes that are not countries, states akin to mood or thoughts, prepared patiently for gentle exhalation, am familiar with palimpsests, both physical and temporal, partially erased chalkboards in random classrooms, lifetimes entangled like overlapping particles that also decay. Make Venn diagrams to encompass Earth and the cosmos. 2. Physical. Have you ever wept when unable to complete a sentence or lingered over them as though a family, uncertain if they are complete or could be sculpted differently, asking what is best when debating the subjective? I treat words like women, enamored by them, always curious about their connotative depths, the cervix confused for denotation, kegels indicative of taut syntax, and so on, a roundabout way to suggest they have wounds. Even the precious articles who multiply rapidly in the loose freedom of speech and laissez-faire associations. 3. Philosophical. I have become a foreigner among rationalities. You'll tell me solipsism is not real, yet it's the only encompassing boundary I know because it cannot be crossed, though love occasionally glimpses across the escarpment precipice of abysses between us. Please don't forget the deontological when addressing questions of ought, or if in the rare presence of profound aesthetics. Will you explain the letter A? Elucidate the remaining vowels in contrast with every consonant who are also members of this set? Tell me the secret of one, too often mistaken for a prime, but whose mysticism unveiled reveals identity. 4. Spiritual. Someday I will become silent as absence, my beloved Telos. And there it is, fellers.
I loved that.
Really, oh, thank good. You, sir.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
I really appreciate that.
Philip, really, and I mean this in a genuine way. I mean, we say this to people when they call in, but it's always genuine, and it's genuine now. We really, really appreciate you calling in, and we always look forward to your work and your presence in the show and in the chat room as well. And so thank you so much for everything.
Oh, well, thank you, sir, and thank you for everything. And thank you, too, Mr. Haiku Master, for all your techno wizardry in the background, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Cheers, fellas.
Cheers. Cheers. Talk to you soon, Philip. Thank you.
All right.
Bye. Bye. That was Philip with World Poetry Open Mic, the ongoing evolution of poetry radio. I don't want to say it's like the next.
I know. I understand.
It's kind of like the thing saying, you know, Daddy, how long's New Mexico going to be new?
You know, I never thought about that.
You never did? Yeah,
I guess I'm worried about that portion.
Or it's like how, you know, we got to come up with a new tagline. We'll come up with a new tagline. We'll work it out. You know, like World Poetry Open Mic, hide your daughters.
No,
that's terrible. That's terrible. I'm sorry. Terrible. That was bad, guys. Bad, terrible.
Well, maybe we'll no stick takers? With the evolutionish kind of thing. We'll see. No takers. That's so weird.
The next revolution. See, it's a re-evolution. The next revolution. In poetry radio. JT just had his mind blown. All right.
Wow.
Let's. It's so deep, it feels like it was supposed to be smart or something. All right. Let's head over to Mary in Arizona. Mary, are you there?
I am here.
How are you?
I am so lovely and so happy to be among you.
Oh, we're happy to be among you.
But no one would see it, so we got to do something else.
All right, let's do this. What are you going to do for us?
I'm going to sing you a Barry White song because I feel amorous tonight.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. And plus, I'm practicing my blues. Why? Because I'm making the first money, the first penny that I've made as a musician I'm making tomorrow.
Oh, wonderful.
In 32 years.
That's great. Well, kill it. Do a great job and then make sure that you try to spin that into more paying gigs.
Oh, that's all it's about. It's about the music.
That's right.
I'm just gonna close your eyes or go somewhere else or go to the bathroom. Or, I got to do this for you because I love you all so much.
Sounds good.
I mean it all genuinely.
All right.
I've heard people say that. Too much of anything is bad. But I don't know about that. Many times we saw
White.
That's thank you very much.
That's an artist I didn't expect to hear tonight. Wonderful job.
Yeah, he was lovely. I watched the video of him before I posted it on Facebook today. Watching that guy sing that song, come on, it's almost like watching Marvin Gaye doing the Sexual Healing. It's a beautiful song.
Oh,
good.
Yeah,
good for them for doing it, and thank you for letting me share it.
Of course. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for sharing your music with us. It really means something for you to call, and it's really great that we can kind of create this space for you to do that. So thanks so much.
Oh, I'm a misfit, but you're a musician, and I love that too. So there we go.
Oh, well, wonderful. Thanks so much.
Bye now.
All right.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye. All right. That was Mary in Arizona. Calling
a
World Poetry Open Mic, the next revolution in poetry radio. We're going to come up with a new sound if we're going to do a revolution thing.
There we go. Sorry.
That is fantastic. What is that? All right. So now we have another caller. We've had her on the show before. We always love her work, and it's so cool she's on the line.
Yeah.
We have from Colorado, Haley. Haley, are you there? Harley.
Harley.
It was misspelled. My brain went out. Harley, I'm sorry. I know who you are. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I just got out of an engagement, you know, moved out of my parents' house.
Yeah.
And now I'm back writing poetry again.
Okay.
I have been through things that sound similar to that, so I can't completely understand, but I know a little bit about what you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
So what do you want to share with us then? Let's let you vent. What are you going to get out?
It's a poem I wrote about my mom because I've been missing her a lot, and she's been pretty depressed, so it's a poem about a mother's love.
All right, whenever you're ready.
It says, When you need to cry, a mother's love will comfort you. When you need a hug, a mother's love is the best. When you want to give up, a mother's love will guide your way. And when you have a bad day, a mother's love will make it better. When you need advice, a mother's love is always there for you. A mother's love is sometimes hard to admit that you need, but it helps beyond words could speak. Moms are by our sides all the time. A mother is your first and last best friend. They cherish your love and opinion. My mom does everything she can to make my siblings and I happy. My mother's love is priceless, and I don't take advantage of it. A mother's love is priceless, so take advantage of it. Ask for a hug here and there. Call her just to say hi and I love you, because one day it'll be gone and you'll never get it back. End poem.
That was a great piece, and thank you so much for calling again. It's great to hear your voice, and I'm glad you're among us. And you're also going to be at Posick Fest, yes?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
We look forward to seeing you there, and you know, I'll touch base with you privately before just to make sure you have all the directions and everything you need, okay?
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much. Harley, you rock. Are you going to call back in the return engagement?
Yeah, I'll probably read one of my old poems.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Good deal.
Okay.
All right.
We'll talk to you then, okay? All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
And that was Harley from Colorado on World Poetry Open Mic, the next revolution in poetry radio. we could just go the direction of this being an evil poetry show.
That'd be really... No, we don't want evil.
No, we don't want evil poetry, but it's just somehow like Skeletor's running a poetry open mic. I find that would be hilarious.
It's a different evolution of this show.
Well, you know, sometimes there's an imbalance in the force. All right. So, I'm going to read a submission by a longtime friend of the show and a longtime contributor to the show, Mr. Steve Junka. And this is called Our Canine Partner in Vietnam. He was born for the task of detection. He was also born for the task of protection. As soon as the collar and the leash were in place, this war dog put on his game face. With him, it's all business till dawn, looking for bad guys till they're all gone. He lives just to please you. He lives just to protect you. He's good and he knows it. He's good and he shows it every night. It matters not if he's not been tested for weeks. The fact that it could happen is what he seeks. They like we are happy at the end of the night. And the kennel once again is a welcome sight for both of us. He is willing to lay down his life for mine. That was and is a very rare trait to find. His loyalty was constant and true. He is worthy of all glory and praise he is due. I've been asked before, did you lose any friends in the war? I know what they mean, and I still say yes. My closest friend. He was the best. His loyalty by the government was rewarded. Betrayal was what he was afforded. They were labeled equipment and then put down. Their remains were never found. They were not found because they were never looked for. Their love did not die, for we still speak of it. That's powerful. And he wrote, thanks again for this forum to express ideas and subjects of interest to those who tune in. And he says he looks forward to hearing the wide variety of poetry and their authors, and that we, but I'm assuming he means everybody, do a great job. So, Steve, that was wonderful. Thank you again. And if you're listening and you want to find out, he submitted by sending it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or using the contact form on our website.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those things where I can be going through submissions and I know I need a poignant, you know, piece that's always going to deliver, and it's always Steve. I just know, I know I will consistently get that with Steve.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
His are very powerful.
They really are.
And my wife, if nobody listened or remembers, my wife works for the Department of Veteran Affairs. She's a nurse. And so, thank you, Steve, for your service. Thank you for writing poetry regarding your service in a fashion. I know that there are groups within the VA that do that. They actually get together. They put together newsletters. They have poetry in there, articles, stories that they're writing, and it helps them therapeutically get over there with PTSD.
Absolutely.
It's awesome programs.
It makes so much sense. And I think there is, with the horrific side of war,
mm-hmm.
I think there is a poetry to it. And in fact, that's the one randomly that I chose to read at the end of this segment.
Oh.
Was one that I heard about from a Navy SEAL who said, you know, he hadn't heard it, and then they were at some MMA thing, because he teaches that now, and during the break there was a commercial for, I think it was Gears of War or something like that, one of the video games,
uh-huh.
right? And it had this poem in the commercial, and okay. it's just incredibly powerful, and I think I'll do it here.
Okay.
Let me, here we go. I have a rendezvous with death at some disputed barricade, when spring comes back with rustling shade and apple blossoms fill the air. I have a rendezvous with death when spring brings black blue days and fair. It may be he shall take my hand and lead me into his dark land and close my eyes and quench my breath. It may be I shall pass him still. I have a rendezvous with death on some scarred slope of battered hill when spring comes round again this year and the first meadow flowers appear. God knows 'twere better to be deep, pallid in silk and scented down, where love throbs out in blissful sleep, pulse nigh to pulse and breath to breath, where hushed awakenings are dear. But I have a rendezvous with death at midnight in some flaming town, when spring trips north again this year, and I to my pledged word am true, I shall not fail that rendezvous. By Alan Seeger, I have a rendezvous with death.
Wow.
He can't hear us, but man, it's a powerful piece.
Yeah, it is.
Poetry is what we turn to when things don't seem to make sense or it's hard to express things, I think. And I think music is another form of that.
Definitely.
Well, I think let's come out of that. It is now time for us to get ready and duly engage in the return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. Give us a call at 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or on Skype, World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back.
We are.
We are.
We're back, and we're dressed for a
party?
For a party of epic
proportions?
Returning proportions, yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm wearing my squirrel suit. This is what I like to wear for no, not that kind of squirrel suit.
I am so sorry.
Why? What did you think this was?
I thought this was a different kind of party.
Wow. I can understand. I mean, it is pretty.
No, don't.
You know, it's funny.
Talk.
I have like 30 things that are going. I'm like, none of these would be good to say on the air right now. All right. So we're back in the return engagement.
Yes.
We've had a couple great segments before, but now we can all come back together and, you know, read another piece, or we can have people who haven't shared yet call in. But let's just let's get right into it. Let's go back to Michigan to one of our favorites. He is Dennis. Dennis, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful.
Return engagement.
That's right. we're so happy to lead off with you.
Well, I'm glad to even get a place.
Boy.
This is an honor to lead off. And I'm going to lead off with a lighthearted poem, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. The title is, I had a dream that I could fly,
and it's written in the monotetra form. It goes like this. I had a dream that I could fly. I grew some wings. I don't know why. I left the ground, aimed for the sky. I say goodbye. I say goodbye. I'm like a kite without a string. I'm free. I'm free. Of this I sing. What joys will this adventure bring? This airborne thing. This airborne thing. Over the mountains, rainbows too. I see great sights. They all are new. Fly through the clouds and feel the dew. A matchless view. A matchless view. But all good things do surely end. Back to the earth I will descend. In your dreams, just try it, friend. I recommend. I recommend. End of poem.
I really like that one, Dennis.
Thank you, really good.
And always a pleasure to share on this program, and thank you so much for being here. How many years are we going on? Is this our seventh year or eighth?
we're finishing our fourth year now. We'll be starting end of November. We'll be starting our fifth year.
Yes, we are, and this is great. And thank you so much for being here for us. And,
oh, of course.
You don't know how much you're appreciated.
It's been a pleasure the whole time, Dennis. Thank you so much, and thank you for being there too.
And thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you. Well, that was Dennis from Michigan on World Poetry Open Mic. The next revolution in poetry radio. Oh, dude. Oh, let me try that again. Wait, now that let's just back this up. Back the train up. Let's try this again. That was Dennis from Michigan on World Poetry Open Mic. The next revolution in poetry radio. I feel better about that one.
Okay.
Was kind of just had to kind of work the kinks out there. It's all right. We're good. Okay. Woo. Now we are going to travel over to the IL, as I like to call it, or Illinois, for Cindy. Cindy, are you there?
I am here, and you knew I was from Illinois without telling you.
Well, we're pretty good with the whole area code thing.
I see that.
We have all kinds of awesome and slightly useless knowledge here in the studio, and we use it.
I have all kinds of awesome and totally useless knowledge.
Yeah, isn't that that's the best kind? I have it. It's the best kind, I think. You know, that's just me.
Agreed.
All right. Well, what do you have for us tonight?
I'm gonna read a poem, and you know, I like dark poetry, so it's gonna be dark.
All right.
I always write dark poetry or political statement poetry or something of the kind. I'm going to give an author's disclaimer before I read it.
Sure.
You might need to understand this to understand the poem. The poem is called Spiromatic. And because I'm old and not a lot of people are, I'm going to say a Spiromatic was a toy when I was younger, a secondary toy to the Spirograph, which I think everybody knows. That was that little plastic piece that you put a pen in and rolled around in a circle. The Spiromatic had four bottles of paint in the corners that splashed out and created abstract art. Okay, so the poem's called Spiromatic, and that might be what you need to know. Inlaid. Whoops, sorry, I'm going in the middle. Locked in sentences, time, a liar's chime. Grammatical error, gates gonging blares, repeating the mallet's drum, leaving innocence stunned, stitching seams insane, synapse smothering brain, judgment's compassion, shades overlaid in bland fashion, 5x8 paint inlaid, scratched gunmetal lead, depicting only dead. Papers clip reams the rip. Puppet spins and grins. flayed arms out, wrists out, life flouts in crimson, and in color the puke spruited. Abstract art swaying, mind's heavy metal music playing, hysterical giggle brain, marionette spinning, spraying, regurgitating life in abstract strife. Spiromedic paints the walls, prison hall, dripping blood red, adding color, permits a squalor and scarlet shadows, the art of justice imposed. Peace sought in eternal repose. End of poem.
That was dark. But I liked
yeah,
it very much.
A lot of dark stuff. Sorry.
You know what? No, don't apologize for it. I have it too.
Comes out. Sorry.
You know, Cindy, I've been writing this, finishing this book of short fiction, and all the stories are so, so dark. I mean, they're almost so dark I don't want to put them out, but I'm going to, and I completely can understand it's worth going into that part of you and working from there.
But I've got to talk about the dark stories. You know, people seek it for whatever reason. We've all got it in our heart.
We do.
They maybe don't want to hear it when they're doing whatever, all right? But every TV show, every whatever is about that dark part.
It is. It's like the phrase,
it's all what we have inside of us, and we got to let it out.
Well, it's kind of like the Freudian death wish thing where it's saying every gambler knows that to lose is what you're really there for.
Ooh. No, I never heard that, but I can also say I always wanted to win. I never wanted to lose.
But it's that. It's
I may
that,
have done it.
It's that, that hinge, though.
I may have done it. Now, wait a minute. I may have done it.
Yeah, you
want to. That wasn't why I was there.
You want to win, but there's a reason why people go off the rails and do absolutely crazy things in their life. It's because that. That adrenaline that hits when you're just on the edge and it could be the end, or you're doing something really drastic and intense. I think that actually feeds it. I think that's why a lot of people have affairs too. I think there's that feeling that's deep down and real, you know.
It is real, and it's weird because I was never that kind of person, but I am the person that is intense and does all that. Not because I wanted to, it's just my life path.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, Cindy, that was awesome. Thank you so much. And we look forward to hearing from you next week.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Have a great night. So that was Cindy from Illinois, the only state with a real license to ill, on World Poetry Open Mic, the next revolution in poetry radio. I really honestly don't know if we're going to keep that, because that's pretty harsh, man.
So weird.
Maybe we could do a show where we just try out the different... I could just have a list of like 20 of them, and we could try them and have people vote in the chat room.
You can always try it again. Do one more time.
Should I do it more chill or the same delivery?
Same delivery.
Okay. That was Cindy from Illinois on World Poetry Open Mic, the next revolution in poetry radio. You know, that's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's getting a little morning show there.
Oh,
but
that's
it's pretty
true.
Good.
That is very morning show. I forgot. I've heard that too many times.
All right. So let's go from Illinois up to Barbara in Connecticut. Barbara, are you there?
I'm here. I'm just looking for my phone. Hi.
Looking?
Well, here, you keep looking there. We're going to look under the couch.
Where can it be?
I don't know.
That's
why I always write my poem. I always write my poems with, you know, paint with my fingers on the wall. That's how I write them, so it's easy to find.
Well, that would be good, but this one was definitely in this area here.
Well, it really freaks out priests when they walk in and they see all the writing on the wall. They're like, "What is this?" I'm like, "Oh, it's just lyrics.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal. Don't
it
worry about
disappeared.
It."
Disappeared. I know it's here.
Or just say the messenger is not
here.
Important.
Yes, sure. I know it's here. So
you want to write a poem called "It's You Know It's Here."
For it.
How about this, Barbara? We're going to move on. You keep looking for it. We'll keep you on the line, and then we'll come back to you in a turn or so.
Sure, because I can find it.
Yeah.
We're not going to do. We're not going to have you looking for your poem on the air. That's a totally different type of radio show. All right, so we're going to skip forward.
Okay, just hang on the line, Barbara. Okay?
Yeah, don't hang up.
I will. Okay. All right.
And when she said "I will," do you think she means she will hang up, or she will?
No, I don't think she's going to do that.
Okay, I don't think
weird.
So either. Okay, so let's go forward. Then we're going to go down to Florida, and we're going to say hello to Diane for a second time this evening. Diane, are you there?
I am here, sir. How are you?
Doing well. Sorry to jump at it so quickly here. I know you thought you had another caller. What do you think of the show? It's been a night of some really good work, don't you think?
I think it has been tremendous.
Yeah. I'm glad we can do this.
Yeah, it is. I am so wonderful.
This
is some of my favorite people, and you're introducing me to new talent that I want to follow.
Isn't that great? I think, and I'm sure they're going to follow you back, and we can just keep building this community. And it really is about community. It's not just any one person.
Exactly so.
Yeah. All right.
Now, so can I interject here, because I have a very short poem?
Please do.
I'm going to put it in a moment for my community, which is Poem Kabili, which you've all heard about.
Absolutely, we have.
Jay Todd was one of our guests this week, but I do not think he's had the time to actually participate.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay.
I am hoping that when he has a little bit of time, he's going to come in and see the comments made on his poem, which is a tremendous poem.
We hope so. So how do we find Poetry Kabili? How do we look for it?
You can go on to Facebook and just look for Poem Kabili.
Poem
P-O-E-M-K-U-B-A-L-E. Let me repeat that. Okay, I'm going to get this right. It's Friday night, guys. Give me a break. Okay.
Do you want me to spell it? How about this? Poem. P-O-E-M-K. Different word. K-U-B-I-L.
I-L-I.
You got it.
Backslash. That's it.
Backslash. That's it.
Now, actually.
Hashtag. Hashtag for days. Esquire. PhD. Yes.
Okay, this has been such a strange week for me, so let me just say this too. I want to, if I can, get you all in October. I would like to have you all as our poetry guests.
We're planning on it.
I'm so grateful.
I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I think that Jay Todd saw the two words this week, wrote such a fantastic poem. I think that when he has some time, and I understand that we all work, all the poets and poetesses.
I always love that name.
I know. Forgive me. But anyway, I think that we need to set aside a week to get you guys on. Philip, Barbara, they're part of us. And we will have such a wonderful time. We need to come to a mutual promotional whatever type of thing.
We need to convene like the princesses in the Princess Diaries too.
So, my sirs.
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll work that out, off the air. Yeah.
Okay, so here is my poem.
Okay.
I told you earlier that I'm reading you some earlier poems from an earlier time in my life. I was in South Africa for 8 years. Drumming is a big part of Africa. Mm-hmm. It is something that they do, not just tribes, but all the races. So I'm just going to stop and go forward. I have a series of poems that are called Dream Strumming. And this is the very first one. It is called Dream Strumming, Introduction to Crown. I am dreaming. It is dark and dank. I am on a footpath to nowhere. Warrior priest is telling me my karma is complete and that I should go. He haunts my nightmares, penetrating places of safety, moving past defenses erected long ago. Against demons I never knew existed. Warrior priest was once a splendid guide of truth and honesty, who led me to hidden paths lit by firelight and ardor. Past and through the bad dreams. But now the warrior priest has become the night bearer, a dark tale told by the fires out of campsites, hidden deep in the brilliance of childhood memories. Once upon a time, the warrior priest taught my soul all that was true of courage and bravery, a totem of the true way that lies before me in the hidden past. Compelled to him, I do not know how to fight. Repelled by him, I cannot shame myself by begging for release. Hidden in two weeds, the thoughts as written, is hidden a glimmering spear. Litten by moonlight, a phantom appears, a spirit of a woman of indeterminate age. She is humming songs of power, long ago lullabies, singing rest and ease to tell warrior priest that his fight is over. He is raging at her now, screaming in words and sounds I cannot comprehend. I cannot cower. I cannot bow. I can only listen as fate is fought between two ethereal beings, feeling heat and passion, resurrection and death. I hold no faith or belief until I can take up the glimmering spear. I awaken in my own bed and the sun is shining. I'm holding a stick, old, hollow and light. One end holds a sharp point. The tip is wet with blood.
Wow. That was, it's hard to know what to say after a poem like that.
Yeah, it was really hard to like have that dream too.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, of course. Of course.
And of course it was a dream.
Wow. Wow.
But it was also a major change point in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something. Diane, thank you so much for sharing. You contributed so much to the show tonight, and you always do. And we really love having you here.
Listen, I just wish that I could give you all to what you give to me. God bless you all.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Well, that was Diane from Florida, the most fluid state. Do you get that? Fluid state. It's like a fluid. Okay.
Wow.
The most fluid state on World Poetry Open Mic, the next revolution in poetry radio. Well, I kind of like the hallelujah, but, you know, that was cool, too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, it's good. I think, you know what? I think the only way we could really make this work is if maybe we recorded the little thing.
You know.
We could have, like, some guitar, like, wow! You know, like, we could do something.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
That'd be kind of fun. All right. We're going to think about that. All right. So, going from Diane in Florida, we're going to go to Philip.
No.
Not Philip.
We're going back.
Oh, to Barbara. That's right. We're going to Barbara. Barbara.
Sorry.
Barbara, did you find it yet?
I did. Lausanne. Yes, I did. Lausanne and oops. And Lausanne and Cindy reminded me that I had a poem about my mother.
Oh, okay.
And so I was looking for it and looking for it. And, of course, it was like at the end of my poems. And it's crazy in my poetry because I went in and, like, grabbed a lot of poems from my book. And so everything is all screwed up with, like, blank pages in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I found it, and I was going to read it on her birthday. I don't think I did. So her birthday was August 9th. So this was on the day that she died, which was March 15th. And it's called Remembering Helen, My Mother, on the Ides of March, the anniversary of her death. And I did it in 2015, so it's maybe it isn't. Maybe it's the right man. Anyway, 26 years today, and still I remember the moment she left this earth at peace at last after a long struggle. Even at the end, trying to help me, her spirit filling the damaged tissue in my leg, a miracle never explained, and the stentorian story, and the stentorian voice of the TV host as the normal world continued, while mine crumbled into minuscule pieces and lay at my feet like my heart, unable to grasp her absence. Her presence, such a constant in my life, now gone, comforting arms never to hold me close, and the tickling whisper of I love you never to be heard again. Yet I carried the warmth of 1,000 kisses inside me and the bubble of her love through the long, empty night of storm-tossed dreams, of flooding and fleeing, until the morning arrived and the sad task of laying her to rest cemented the moment. And as reality became the truth, my tears poured over her inert body, buried beneath shovels of dirt soon to be topped by granite carved with bare essentials. But the true essence of this woman, who all her life strived to create beauty and find her place, who chastised herself for her outward appearance and never treasured the uniqueness of her gifts, was not there in that crowded cemetery. She was my bulwark, and suddenly I was adrift, my anchor gone. And boom.
I'm glad you found that one.
Yeah, I wanted to read that one because it was about my mother, and, you know, I miss her because there was no one quite like her.
Yeah.
I was thinking about reading it when I heard them reading the poems with, you know, their mothers, especially Cindy. Yep. Made me think about it. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow. Barbara, thank you for and tonight you really did share some really emotionally raw stuff, and I know that was hard, and I want to say thank you for being open and being vulnerable for us.
Oh, you're welcome. I am very open and vulnerable, and actually we talked about this fact that I have a movie. If you're in the Louisville area, Philip, if you want to see it, you can go see it. And it's called Yes, All Women, and it's going to be, it was shown in Louisville, and it's also going to be shown in another festival. So
cool.
I have a feeling that that is going to get somewhere, but it is me with two other women talking about things that they were abused, and, you know, I was abused and talked about it, and so it's on film now, so I just wanted to, anyone can see it on YouTube even, so
okay.
Wow.
It's there, so anyway, I am open, and I think being open helps you to, you know, deal with the problems in your life, and so I'm going to get off. I know you have lots of people, so I'm going to get off. But thank you so much for bearing with me
of course, putting me on.
And sorry, Philip, for taking your place.
No, you didn't take his place.
No, he's still there. He's still there, so he's going to come next. And I'm sure he wouldn't
good.
Mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. We'll talk to you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Barbara in Connecticut. The I can't really think of anything with that abbreviation. On World Poetry Open Mic, the next revolution of poetry radio. Yeah.
I like it. It's kind of epic.
It's, It's kind of epic, but it's kind of Plankton-esque as well, you know?
Yes, it very is. Much
yeah.
so.
Yeah. That's all right. Maybe we need to find something a little bit more. We'll find somewhere with some more epic elegance at the same time. Like,
okay.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure that out. Maybe we'll start wearing tuxedos when we do the show.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of tuxedos, let's go to Kentucky.
Chrysalis.
You know what the phrase, is there a phrase, Philip, about a Kentucky tuxedo? I haven't heard about it, but it sounds like there should be one.
We don't got none of them in this state.
if you see someone in Kentucky with a tuxedo, he's either the devil or not from here.
That's right. And I didn't vote for him either.
Exactly.
Nice spontaneity there. Yeah.
That's it.
Sure if I'm on the air.
It's not really spontaneity. Right. It's just a, you know, a form of just not being able to shut up and you have a microphone in front of you. That's really what this is.
Yeah, absolutely. Or a phone, for that matter.
Or a phone. Very true.
Yeah, or a phone. Yes, absolutely. I think we're all a ham. So
we wouldn't be here if we weren't. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to be here. I count my blessings.
So, I am too, and I'm happy you're here as well.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Michael. And thank you, Mr. Haiku Master, JT. I'll try to keep the umlaut out of your name, sir. I always do that.
It's all right, Philip. It's all right. Okay. As long as you don't put an H in there, I am happy.
Yeah, it's just Gunther, not Gunther.
It makes me... Suddenly I'm thinking of Family Guy. Cool whip.
Cool whip.
Cool.
Yes.
Whip.
Yeah.
What? Say cool. Cool. Say whip. Whip. Say cool whip. Cool whip.
Yes. Yeah.
We actually have conversations that are so close to that with a complete deadpan here, Philip, when we're not on the air. You have to understand.
I certainly appreciate that. No, I really do. Random quotes, who, you know, you recognize it or you don't, and then you just keep going. So
that's right.
Exactly.
All right. I'll get to it. And I just wanted to say, Michael, I had to reread through this. This is the poem that it was your challenge, I think, almost a month and a half ago. I'm not sure. I have been very atemporal. But, man, it's really a daunting task. I mean, I just look, I'm like, what? Oh, my God. And then, you know, and then I'm just throwing this out there. I mean, I think sometimes what happens is there's this abstraction that you're not sure who's being modified or talked about.
Right.
And then I had to reread it a couple of times to catch the idea. So I really appreciate your bravery, man. I really do. It ain't easy. I messed up the first couple of times. I'm like, oh. So
I just right. jump in, man. That's all I do is just jump
just
in.
Jump in. Yeah. There you go. That's the way to do it. Well, I'll just jump in then and see if I drown.
Sounds good.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Big title for you, Mr. Amadei.
Well, thank you, Philip. I'll put on my tuxedo.
You're so welcome. Glad I'm wearing a toga. All right, here we go. An ode to the gods of Olympus upon the occasion when Athena presented a surprisingly hard-to-procure feast wasted on generational reunions of the effete-haut monde legions and the most vile leftovers from our badly singed humanity. These so-called gods we've inherited from cultures ancient and primitive, worn similarly as a night's cinema, masks imbued with storied authority and celestial divination so our grave misdeeds may be judged and assuaged, our vengeance and mass genocides put in proper perspective, a countermeasure to our vanity and hubris, how even our quaint savagery hides, draped behind dinner table etiquette. All our greatest savored feasts served in literary portions difficult to procure from studious exegesis. Bold Athena, born of wild-swung axe war cries, leading me securely home like Odysseus, away from Calypso's imprisoned isles. History's slow cycle metamorphosis, enraptured passions secure in Ovid's chrysalis, and discarded legends discovered in thrift stores, passed along by lesser gods and demigoddesses, reborn in the fiery spirit of healing wisdom, an apotheosized perspective that ascended Olympus, wielding truth as a warrior's sword, a brandished pen that will redact what should never have been. Pensively read through all the vicissitudes ages, when gratefully I accepted these long silver hairs, grown patiently until it resembles gossamer, that lightly mocks my younger ambitions. And so, I lock rare garlands in real vaults, where the en masse greedy who cannot store their true gifts in heaven squander the future on repetition while I gaze mournfully back at them through gilded sun glints heralded as the needle's eye. And there we go, fellers.
Woo. Yeah, good job.
It was a minefield, my friend. Let me tell you.
It's a bit of a minefield, but you know, I don't think I'd be up to it tonight. I've stumbled a few times this evening for some reason. It just happens.
Oh yeah, no, I understand totally. That's when I know it's about time for me to need a nap or something. You start putting things that are not in the paragraph, and you're like, yeah. Oh yeah, okay, yeah, this isn't part of the story. Time to go to sleep.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you're reading something, and you're like, you know, until I felt the icy clutches of death and his hand reach around my. By the way, a good fried chicken recipe is, and then you're like, wait, what is it?
Yeah, right.
I have to stop reading the ads on the side of the browser, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the only thing that can sometimes compensate for that is to take the time to read aloud. That narrows your focus. You know, the voice activated on the page. It's a little bit differently. Sometimes I do that, but then sometimes I definitely need sleep. It keeps me out of the hospital. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, I think all of us. You know, and the thing that's been interesting too is with teaching, I essentially spend all of my day in oratory.
And it becomes
a lot easier to improvise, but also sometimes you're so tired, your neurons aren't firing at quite the speed they should be when you're you know, at night. So I'll work it up. Maybe I'll take a nap next time. I can't believe I'm saying that.
And cheers for you being a teacher, man. That is, other than parenting, that is the second hardest job in the world and the most important. You guys should get paid like the freaking NBA or NFL, and it's an insult to all teachers everywhere that they get paid so little for the great job they do. So thank you for that.
I appreciate that. I'm going to take that, and I'm going to actually take that to the school and be like, yeah, I want NBA dollars.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right.
I will throw down Kobe-like results if you pay me like Kobe.
That's right.
I don't even know who that is, but it sounds great.
It's a really good kind of beef.
No. Oh, I thought you were talking about Kobe Bryant.
I was. I'm just screwing around now.
I got you. Very touche. Yes, I love it.
All right.
I'm coming to Colorado.
You
have
should, man.
Evening, guys.
All right. Hey, Philip. Thanks for everything. Have a great night.
Oh, thank you, sir. Cheers.
Cheers. All right. That was Philip. From Kentucky, the KY state.
Jeez.
Very little friction in Kentucky. On the next revolution in poetry radio. I couldn't really think of anything. I mean, I could have talked about chicken, but I already brought that up.
You already did.
It would seem redundant.
Yes.
And I don't want to be redundant.
No.
I think we should go to the muggy, partly cloudy British Columbia, Vancouver. Lausanne, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling again. We're looking forward to what you have for us now.
Beautiful. Yeah, I like it that they were writing about mothers and love mom and all that. It's beautiful. But it is. My poem is about mom talking to her child.
Oh, really? Okay.
I have two boys. I have an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old.
Oh.
And as some of you know who have teenagers, you know, preteens start getting into some trouble. So
Yes, they do.
I wrote this poem after my son got into some sort of trouble.
Oh, no. Okay.
And, you know, when you make trouble, you feel like nobody loves you, you're worthless and all that. So that's what I wrote this poem about. When you are loved, I see you with tears dripping from your face onto your lap, dampening your pants, your fingers crossed together, feeling ashamed and small. You wish all this would disappear. The sight of you looking down is breaking my heart. It's
crushing my spirit. I can't stand seeing you in pain. Thoughts flood your mind, yet you are unable to speak a single word. Your mouth is numb. Your tongue refuses to speak. Your eyes are unable to open. Your head cannot lift that little chin up. Lift your head. Look at me. Say something. You can climb out of this one. I know you can. You can get through this. I know you can. You will learn a lesson. I know you can, because I know you. My chest hurt when I know you're hurting. I can't look up. I just cannot look up because I do not want to stop looking at you. Didn't you know? Didn't you know you can never be sad and alone when you're so very much loved, cherished, and adored, my little boy? Love, Mom. The end.
That was a beautiful piece.
It is.
Because I know it's when you make a mistake, you feel like, you know, everybody's looking down at you. I make, we'll make mistakes, but don't ever feel like you're not loved. We all make mistakes, you know. Just you're loved no matter what. You know, I'm your mommy. What the heck?
Well, you know, I think that's something that, you know, and of course, to a different extent, obviously, but yeah. That I know that I definitely try to do during the day when I'm teaching, too, is that you see children who will make a mistake or not get something. And you can actually see the process in their head where they start telling themselves they're not good enough or something. And I know I felt that. And JT and I had a really good talk about this last week where we couldn't our attention would divert. And so we couldn't remember to do things. And then because we couldn't remember to do it, we, you know, people came down on us. And then we assumed, oh, yeah, it must be that I'm defective somehow.
Yeah.
And so I really try to endeavor to let them know that it's one. It's okay to respect yourself enough to come up to me and ask if you have a question or tell me if you don't understand. That's what I'm here for. And two, it doesn't mean anything about you. We're here to help you. And I think every child really needs that, but I think it has to start at home just like anything. And it's wonderful to hear that.
True. No worries. Thank you for having me. And I loved it. This evening was just, you filled up my entire house with music, chatter, and poetry. And I love you guys.
Wonderful. We love having you on here too. Thank you so much, Lausanne.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week, you guys.
You too. Okay, you Thank too. You.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Lausanne from British Columbia, Vancouver. On World Poetry Open Mic, the next revolution in poetry radio. We gotta find another one.
I got a few more.
I know you do, but I mean, how many of them are not, you know, kangaroos blowing kazoos or something? It's the whimsical soundboard. Yep. See, that's a little intense. Yeah. See that I'm sure poets want to hear that right after they've finished burying their souls.
Right. Which is why I don't hit that.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I get it. Okay. We'll work it out. All right. So from Vancouver. We're going to go to Washington to another friend of the show who's been on already, to Annette. Annette, are you there?
Hold on. Let me turn my volume down.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right.
Okay.
How's your evening been going? How's the show sound from over there?
It sounds good. Some people sound a little more clear than others. Some sound faint, you know, far away. But
interesting.
It's all the way we speak, I guess.
Yeah, I think that cell signals and yeah.
Anyways, okay, I'm gonna read you my dark piece. I wrote. It pertains to addiction.
Okay.
Drug addiction. Mostly, yeah. Well, yeah, because basically there's like death in the end. So it's called Blue to Black. And I wrote this a couple days ago. Let me see. 3 days ago.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Angry waters rippled down torn seams on a blistering summer day. Your silhouette floating just above chilled current. Dreamed above silver glistens attached to a black sun. The last breath I watched you take. Your time here wasted. Sold at half price. As destruction took over the steering wheel, you shifted full throttle while your fingers gripped and slid as you slumbered over into another realm. Silence. How abruptly it ended,
as the pulses that ran down your veins enveloped me with your sadness. Addressed to me, but stamped, return to sender. There was no returning. Just an empty canvas with the backdrop stained red. I felt you cry inside, as did I, regretting every second of every hour, year after year, down windless roads leading to a dead end as I watched you travel into darkness. No do-over, just the pounding of monsters inside your head. Forgotten, your memory remains in the air, water, soil, and sky until my last breath is spoken. Only then my memories of you wiped clean off the chalkboard as I join you into a sea of glory. Our flesh skinned from the earth, but our spirit still remains of what we once were. Blue turned to black at last. End poem.
I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I like it. It's one of my better ones.
Thank you so much for sharing it with us. I think we all really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me share it with you guys.
Of course. Anytime.
Really enjoy your stuff. Okay.
All right. Well, will we see you next week, do you think?
Next week. I have 6 overtime shifts in the next 2 weeks. Let's see.
Goodness.
Yeah, you will, because I work Friday on my day off in the morning, but I'm off Saturday, so I can do it.
Oh, that would be awesome. Okay, and if you can't call in, feel free to send a poem in, too, and I'll read it for you, okay?
Okay, no problem. That sounds great.
All right, awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great night. All right.
You too. Bye-bye.
That was Annette from Washington. Wash. It's right there. It's pretty well. No, Wash. It's the cleanest state.
Because it rains a lot.
W-A, Washington. What do they do there? It's a verb. Okay. On the next Revolution in Poetry Radio. I'm gonna work out some kinks here.
Some.
All the kinks.
All of the kinks. Oh, that was really weird.
I know. It's okay, though. It's all right. This is an experiment. This is not just the evolution. It's a revolution. All right. So let's go to somewhere kind of close in the neighborhood here. We're going to go back to Harley. Harley, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, hello.
Hello.
All right. So we're here in the return engagement. Thank you for holding and being patient. What do you have for us?
I wrote this poem a while back, a couple days after Easter, I want to say in 2014.
Okay.
When my mom had gotten arrested.
All right.
It's called Life, and it says, life can take a hold of everything around you, but when you think you can't do anything, you automatically give up. Sometimes you have to deal with what's going on around you, and you have to push through it. You might find it difficult at first, but that's because you overthink about it and make it worse. The pain at first is just a temporary feeling, and you have to say, you know what? Whatever life throws at me, I can do it. Never give up on anything, no matter how much it may feel like that is the right thing to do at that exact moment. It is and never will be the right thing to do. You have to be strong no matter what the situation is, whether it is losing a family member or having someone get arrested. I have had my fair share of both of these things, and all I wanted to do was give up, but I didn't. I kept my head up and tried to stay positive. Some people say they know what it's like and that they've been in my position before, but then again, they never know what to say about it. I'm not the type of person who will tell you what's wrong at first. I usually hide tears behind a fake smile. It's hard to be in the positions I have been in my entire life, and sometimes I hide everything until I am alone. I guess you could say that I'm the type of person who pushes people away. And yes, I am that person. But that's because I don't have people in my life worth keeping around to trust. When I'm in these positions, I shut down. I become a totally different person. Because when I'm alone, I do my thinking and try to keep my head up. But going through so many issues like this, my body feels like giving up. My brain and my heart tell me everything is going to be okay. I lose all faith and hope in these issues because I know there is and never will be anything I can do. Because I'm only a kid right now, and I let issues like this get the best of me. I guess my only other option is to be strong and know everything will be just fine in the end. That the pain that I feel and the doubts that I have are just phases and situations like the ones I've been through in my life. And in the end, I'll be a stronger person. I'll be able to look back at the times when I had doubts, negative thoughts, fake smiles, and say those moments, days, nights, hours, minutes, tears, and harm to myself are just phases that made me the strong person I am to this day. It is because I never continued giving up and I knew I would be just fine. So keep your head up and pick it up if it falls, because everyone around you wants to see how brave you are to stay reality in the face and say, I will be okay if I keep my head up. And Pauline.
That talk about a real and raw, true to life expression through poetry.
That's actually one of my more favorite poems, and it'll probably be the last one I read at the poetry festival in September.
Oh yeah, wonderful.
It speaks to so many people, and that was one of the first poems I ever read on this podcast, and I'm glad I get the chance to read it over and over again to help people relate to what everybody's going through. I mean, everybody goes through it, and everybody has different ways of coping, and mine just so happens to be poetry.
That's very true. That's very true. And I've always had an issue with this, doing art and thinking, well, does art really matter? I could be going into... JT's heard me talk about this so many times, but I've really come down to that... And I continually come back to that it is important for us to do that to help other people deal with their lives as well. And it really does solve it really is a function. And it's, I think what you're doing is important.
Yeah.
Well, Harley, thank you so much. And we'll be in touch. Will we hear from you next week?
For sure. Yeah.
All right. Wonderful. We look forward to it. Thank you so much, Harley.
No problem.
All right. That was Harley. From Colorado, known to natives here as the Cocobongo State, on World Poetry Open Mic, the next revolution in poetry radio.
I got nothing on that one. I'm sorry.
That was terrible.
Cocobongo.
It's like Cocobongo, like the Cocobongo Club in The Mask with Jim Carrey.
Was it the Cocobongo?
I think
it was the Coco Cabana.
It might have been the Coco Cabano. Coco Bongo? What's like chocolate bongo drums? I don't know. I mean, what? Maybe they're tasty, you know?
Maybe.
Maybe they are. Conga, not Congo. See, I would yell at a student for Congo. That. Congo's a place.
Yes.
Coco, whatever. Anyway. Now, we had Lorraine on the line, but apparently she dropped off, and we have really no way of letting her know. She tried calling back during Harley's segment, and now we haven't seen her since. So I think what we're going to do is we're just going to move on.
Okay.
And so we're going to, I'm going to read not a submission, but kind of some lyrics as poetry. But what I'm going to do right now is we're going to go to Studio X, and I'm going to try to sing it a cappella as a way to express the poetry as well and the melody. And then we're going to wrap up the show. So before we get into this, I want to say thank you to all of our poets. You've been wonderful. And we look forward to seeing you next week, which, oddly enough, will be my 36th birthday next Friday.
Wow.
So be here. We're going to throw a birthday party. It's going to be crazy. And we will see you then next time. But this song that I sing is dedicated to you and to the hosts of World Poetry Open Mic and all of our close friends. So I will see you in Studio X in 1, 2, 3. All right. I always have to stretch after that.
It's a little jarring.
It's a little jarring.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's a little jarring. Speaking of that, can we get larger jars of peanut butter in here? Because when I'm in here for those long stretches of time where I write, I do eat just mainline peanut butter. I mean,
okay.
I actually do that, by the way. Today, I actually had a bowl of peanut butter. Mm. Just straight peanut butter.
Sounds wonderful.
It's kind of good. I feel weird afterwards, though.
Because you had a bowl of peanut
butter?
Like a bowl of ice cream?
Peanut butter, you know, you get it.
Okay.
Okay. So this song, I'm going to bring it down. This song is for all of our friends in the community here. for all of us here in Denver and all around the world, poets. This song is by Bruce Springsteen, If I Should Fall Behind. We said we'd walk together, baby, come what may. That come twilight, should we lose our way? If as we're walking, a hand should slip free, I'll wait for you. And should I fall behind, wait for me. We swore we'd travel, darling, side by side. We'd help each other stay in stride. But each lover steps far so differently. But I'll wait for you. Should I fall behind, wait for me. Now everyone dreams of love lasting and true. But you and I know what this world can do. So let's make our steps clear, that the other may see. I'll wait for you. Should I fall behind, wait for me. I'll wait for you. Should I fall behind, wait for me. From JT, from myself, Michael, and from J. Todd, wherever you are. This has been World Poetry Open Mic. And remember, poetry is an echo asking a shadow to dance. Good night.